Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Drunk women solving crime. Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
This is Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Hannah George and I'm a screenwriter. I'm joined by author and comedian Katie Wilkins.
Hello.
And writer-comedian Taylor Glenn.
Hello.
This is where absinthe meets arson, Negroni meets necrophilia, and Grand Marnier meets Grand Theft Auto. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Ass Chaffenberg.
Like, your ass is chaffed, like that.
A little bit like you've gone on a long walk and you haven't talked. Yeah.
Right. Uniform policeman came in, so I was a bit disappointed because I thought, oh, you're not very important, are you?
Oh, the bishop goes to a different school. You don't know him.
Again, Phoebe Waller-Bridge has screwed up my ideas of priests.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Welcome to Drunk Women Solving Crime. We are still under lockdown, but we have the privilege to be joined by the brilliant Jo Corfield.
Yay!
I am thrilled to solve some crime and get drunk.
Yeah. Hooray!
Excellent. How are you doing, Jo?
Excellent. Very excellent. We've had a lot of crime around here recently. Bike thievery has gone up.
That is
the talk of the neighbourhood. Yeah.
Wow.
Jo, you haven't had your bike stolen, but have you ever been the victim of a crime?
Several times, and once I wasn't so much the victim, but I tried to stop a low-level crime.
Nice.
Yeah. This is about 10 years ago, and I was on the Finchley Road on the bus. I was on the top of the bus on Finchley Road, and it was near fireworks time. And I'm sitting on the bus, and there was a gang of boys at the back of the bus. I'm like halfway on the top, always sit on the top. And they were throwing fireworks out of the window, lighting them and just chucking them down the street.
No.
So people were terrified. There's people, jumping out, people at bus stops, sounds like fun, but it was scary.
They could have killed and maimed everyone.
Could have done. So there was about five other people on the top of the bus. So I turned around, saw it was them. And then everybody else who was sitting on the bus got up, went downstairs immediately, we're leaving this area. So I thought, I'll give it a moment. And then probably in a not very threatening way, I turned around and I went, stop that. Then there was a lot of talk about me. A lot of disrespect went on. Oh, who she thinks she is. And then someone going, oh, a lot of talk about smelling pussy. That sort of talk, where I was like, this is not appropriate at all. Then we get to a bus stop, and the bus stops for a little longer. And they're throwing them out, and then they're going, well, what's going on? Why is the bus stopped? And that, and then up the stairs, normal looking man. Then he opened his jacket and he had on police jumper, police bag, policeman. And he walked down. I was like, oh my God. He walked past me. I was like, he's going to sort it. You are going to get it. And then he said, you guys, you throwing fireworks? You got fireworks? And they immediately threw the fireworks under the seats down towards the end of the bus. They will go, no, we've got no fireworks. We don't have fireworks.
Oh, my God. Smooth.
I put my feet down to stop them as they roll down the bus. So I've stopped all the fireworks at me.
Right.
So the policeman says something to them like, well, you can't be throwing fireworks. And they're going, we don't have any, prove it, all this kind of thing. So then the policeman goes downstairs and I think, well, I've got all the fireworks. These boys, they can see I've got them all. And they're shouting at me like, what are you doing? So I go downstairs, and you know when suddenly all the lights go off on the bus? He's turned the engine off, all the lights go off.
Scary moment.
Policeman's talking to the bus driver, and I said, and I immediately went up, and I went, yeah, they were throwing fireworks, and I've got all the fireworks. And I noticed there's nobody else on the bus now. Everyone's got off the bus. And I said, well, what's going on? Here's the fireworks. And the policeman said, well, I'm not going to take the fireworks. Huh? And the bus driver goes, I don't want them. I've got to take this back to the garage because there's been an incident. We're going out of service. And I went, what do you mean? I've got to get off the bus. He goes, yeah, you've got to get off the bus. At the same time, the boys come down the stairs and they say, they've got to get off the bus. And I go, I don't want to get off the bus now, do I? With them. You know, I've dubbed them in. I'm holding their fucking fireworks, aren't I?
No shit.
I tried to sort it out. Nobody's interested. Everyone turned a blind eye.
Wow. Oh, my God. Mad. That is such a moment in London life. Like, there are so many layers of that. Like, everyone walking away and not doing anything.
You go, no, I'm not having this anymore. I'm going to take a stand. And everyone's like, oh, don't take a stand.
Yeah. Let them kill people.
Let's not cause a fuss.
What a killjoy. God.
The other time I was weirdly a witness. You know, you see the yellow signs that say, were you in this area? And my friend phoned me up and said, oh, you're going to get a call from the police. We had been drinking all night and we'd gone for breakfast and we'd gone to this cafe. And then she said, walk by there the next day. And it said, were you around this area about 6:37 in the morning? Which we were, but we were drunk in a cafe. Someone had been murdered. I don't want to say the name, but I remember the name. Ooh, and it was an aristocrat had been murdered. Somebody with a title, because it says who had been murdered.
Wow.
So I think maybe they were extra vigilant, because that's what happens in Britain. And so I got a call to go in and said, your friend said that you were in the area. We need to talk to you. So I went in. It was Scotland Yard. So I felt very excited.
Fuck.
And got taken into a little room on my own. And what I remember, a uniformed policeman came in. So I was a bit disappointed because I thought, oh, you're not very important, are you? I was, in cool clothes. But I always remember that he put down, he had a proper big old-fashioned helmet and he put it on the table. And inside, I looked inside the helmet and there was all these little kid stickers of Ninja Turtle stickers. Inside his hat, and I was like, you can take me right now. That is so adorable. His kids have put stickers in his helmet, and he's going around trying to be like, oh, I'm a big policeman. And go, yeah, but you've got Ninja Turtle stickers in your helmet.
He must have had to take that hat off in front of actual criminals.
Criminals.
Not just kind of a nice witness.
I was trying to look really tough, and they put bloody stickers in there again.
Like when it's his turn to be bad cop, and everyone's like, dude.
You bad cop. Just take your clothing this time if you're going to be bad cop. So they asked me who I'd seen in the cafe, and I suddenly remembered people really clearly. I said, well, there was this one guy, and I described him, and he's writing it down. And I said he was short. He had like a Hawaiian shirt on. He was sort of bald with a bit of hair. And then I said,
Danny DeVito?
Yes. That is exactly what I did. I went, oh. And I thought, that's not what happened. And I suddenly had to say to him, you're going to think I'm crazy. And I wasn't lying, but I've just realized I've just described Danny DeVito because I watched the film Twins the other night. And the policeman, he said, don't worry about it. And I thought, I'm going to be done now. And he said, no, it happens all the time. That's why eyewitnesses are so unreliable.
Oh.
He said, because your memory doesn't remember nothing it fills in the memory.
Yes. Oh my God. Danny DeVito. You know, someone saying,
he said there was one time when David Beckham was suddenly responsible for a lot of crimes because anyone who's suddenly really in people's eye, you go, you'll get lots of descriptions of that person.
Oh, shit.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
That's insane.
So I was of no help, but I thought it's really interesting.
Yeah, the psychology of memory.
That's mad. And also, if you just watch Twins, the person that sort of seems more threatening in that film is Arnie. Like, you didn't describe Arnie. You just described the short,
I didn't want to take on someone dangerous. Really? I've gone for the little one.
Oh, man, that story is amazing, particularly those stickers in that helmet. That's
incredible. That's my new favourite. Like, I just, like, there could be a criminal could be like, you know, maybe he loved the Ninja Turtles when he was a kid and then he ends up opening up and confessing to the cop. It could be a real tactic.
Yes, and this would be so funny, Joe, if you were like, there was a guy and he was like green and he had this blue mask. And he was eating a pizza.
I think it was,
his name was Donatello.
Wow. Did they ever find the person that was responsible?
I think they did. Yes. I think it was a premeditated, you know,
hit.
Helped people going crazy.
Wow.
For money and inheritance and madness and drugs. Yeah.
Shit. Wow. Wow. Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing such scintillating stories. That's amazing.
Yeah, those were both amazing. I feel like it was a whole tour of British culture. Like it started in London, but then it was just like it was a journey through the class system. And
I always remember when I was at school, we got on there was this bus called the 58 and it was our bus to school. And it was like a notoriously rough bus, but it wasn't really rough in the sense that the thing that I always remember is that some boys had got hold of their dad's printer and had printed out something on eight pieces of paper. And they'd stuck them at the front of upstairs of the bus. And we got all the way to school. So we drove through the Isle of Wight for 40 minutes. And the front of the bus just said, fuck you.
Yeah. Oh, that's very sweet. Like a art project, vandals.
It was so funny. It was one of the those boys were legends after that. It was just
totally.
I mean, they were expelled, but they were legends.
Oh, man.
If I saw a bus with that on now, I would absolutely laugh like hell. Lovely.
Oh, yeah.
Good idea.
Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
This week, we're discussing a story that a couple of people have suggested to us online recently. So I'd like to say thank you to Jade and Erica for suggesting the story of Father Hans Schmidt, who was a Catholic priest and murderer.
Oh, my God, that's my whole background. Catholicism.
Ooh. Oh, is it? I'm glad it wasn't murdering.
No. Yes. Went to a convent school. My brother is a Catholic priest, but not a murderer. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, shit. Wow. Okay.
Mm. Oh, my God.
I'm on board with this one.
Nice.
This one, I'll tell you for now. I'm sure your brother is a legend, but Hans Schmidt, there is very little to like about him. And it all starts in 1881 when he was born in Germany in the Bavarian town of, now I can't pronounce this properly, but it looks like it's called Aschaffenburg.
Like your ass is chaffed, like that.
A little bit like you've gone on a long walk and you haven't talked. Yeah.
Right.
So yes, Aschaffenburg. So straight out of the gates, as a youngster, people said that Hans had a fascination with blood and dismemberment. Now, can you think of the kind of things he did as a child that later made people say, oh, yeah, he had a fascination with blood and dismemberment?
Well, it usually starts with animals, with people. They start experimenting and then they sort of push the boundary. It starts with smaller animals and then they get a bigger one. And
I've seen Don't Fuck with Cats, so I'm with that theory. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That's crazy, that, isn't it? Katie?
Yeah, I have nothing to add.
Well, they are absolutely correct because he once beheaded two of his parents' geese and kept their severed heads in his pocket.
Oh, lordy.
Geese are vicious. That wouldn't have been easy to kill a goose.
Katie's impressed.
Are you saying well done?
Yeah, I've gone from being disgusted to slightly impressed.
Well, it was a surprising animal. I wasn't expecting it. I was expecting like a small little thing or a pet.
Yeah.
And I should say, they can attack you. They're hard to get close to.
Yeah, that took some doing.
Do you know what? So far, we're Team Hans. I've already told you he's a murderer. Yeah. But that's fine.
Did he eat the geese?
No, Kitty, they were pocket geese.
Sorry. He kept keepsakes in his pocket.
Oh, you mean the body. Sorry. Yeah, I don't know.
I was trying to, like, you know, we all, people have eat geese. It's not
I think people who pocket the heads, though, don't generally prepare the breast for their family. But
I mean, I agree. It doesn't check out that that's...
But he also frequented the village slaughterhouse daily, where he'd sit and watch animals get slaughtered with fascination.
I'm glad this guy joins the church. Sounds like a great route. We don't know when this is, do we? You haven't asked the year
yet. No, 1881.
Oh, I'm sorry. You said it, and I did not listen. Okay.
Had nobody noticed this thing, a child hanging around in an abattoir, that's not normal.
How old was he at the abattoir?
At the abattoir, I imagine he was sort of like 8 or 9 or something. You know, he was a young...
That's fucked up.
Fucked up.
I suppose they did put kids to work really young, but still.
So when Hans is 23, and although, all who knew him thought he was morally and mentally not well enough to be ordained, he was... or was he? When he was later asked about him being ordained, he said that a bishop ordained him alone and he doesn't want to talk about it.
Oh, the bishop goes to a different school. You don't know him.
Yeah. The bishop ordained me.
But no one saw.
But nobody saw it, because that's the way that happens, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I got married, nobody came, and you've never met my husband. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, he's too handsome.
That's it.
He's like, sometimes he's a spy and stuff, so you're probably not going to see him anytime soon, but he's really handsome.
But then he went on to say that he was actually ordained by someone else entirely. Who or what do you think he said he was ordained by?
A visitor.
Headless goose.
Was it some sort of visitation from somebody sainted?
Oh, Joe, you are spot on.
Somebody came down and ordained him.
Yes. Can you name a saint? If you can get this saint, I'll be very,
Saint Peter.
Impressed. Oh, now name a
saint. Valentine.
Saint Valentine?
Saint Peter.
Saint Peter.
Saint Peter.
Saint Francis of Assisi.
Saint Francis of Assisi, Taylor.
Saint Paul's Cathedral. The whole cathedral just showed up.
So it was Saint Elizabeth, who is a saint from the 11th century, who appeared at his bedside when he was praying and said, and I quote, this is him now, he said, "When she appeared to me, she said, 'I ordain you to the priesthood.' There was a light during her appearance. I told no one. I thought it best to keep it to myself. They would make fun of me. They always made fun of me for these things. God speaks to people in different ways."
Oh, wow. Okay.
I've never heard of Saint Elizabeth myself.
Really?
It is a saint. It is a saint's name, but I've never heard of her. But it's a weird one to pick, isn't it? As though a more well-known one. Like if you said Saint Peter, people will go, no, because we've talked to Saint Peter.
Right. he's picked a really old, unpopular one.
Yeah, obscure one that people have gone, well, maybe she... I always love knowing what saints do, because there's some really weird ones. There's a great one, Saint Christina the Astonishing.
What
a great name. And she didn't do much good. A lot of them, you go, well, what was the point of them? But she would come here around the village and astonish people.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Is that literally what she did?
Yeah, she would levitate and, you know, but nothing of any use to anybody, just being very holy. They go, oh, she's really holy and levitate.
David Blaine kind of figure.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah. Pointless, as is his act. I agree.
The David Blaine of saints. That's really harsh.
Saint Blaine.
I'm liking his imagination so far. I love the, like, as a kid, I'd have loved to have said that, yeah. Because I did think I would get visitation. So, yes, it came out.
Yeah.
And I do like that he's kind of like, I'm just not telling anyone because people take the piss. Like,
Also, doesn't it feel like he's been cripplingly bullied, like, and he has not recovered?
I've got to say, I'm enjoying your sympathy for him now, because when you find out what he did...
No, it's not sympathy. It's clearly the cause of why he's a massive psycho. Possibly. Mm.
I don't even know. I'm not even getting a bullied vibe.
In fact, left fieldness with the geese and the St. Elizabeth. You know, not predict him, you know.
No, you can't predict him. But like, seriously, if you can't do your story about why, when a saint spoke to you without getting in that they always laugh at you, like, come on. That's like doing your wedding speech and going, yes, they're not laughing now, are they? Look at me. I've got my... It's like, dude, you've won.
I do remember that
you.
from your wedding
paper. But do you know what I mean? It's like, why are you talking about the people laughing at you? Mm. Like, you've got a higher purpose now, surely. Why are you still worried
it's
about
it? It's so obvious, isn't it, if someone says that? You go, oh, right, so you're really cool. You're absolutely right, yeah. Yeah,
I feel like he's more of like a really malignant narcissist type, though. Like I have a picture of like a smothering mother, like the opposite of like he was told that he was amazing and everything he did was great, but it was with like sort of a sinister undertone. I think there's a very interesting mother character that we probably don't know anything about.
Which is why there's a female saint.
Saint. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
You are so important. I'm going to ordain you.
Yeah.
Oh, I love how we're profiling this guy.
No, this is very good. So Hans, he starts priesting about the place, getting assignments in various different villages around Bavaria. But the complaints started to roll in.
Oh, God.
Wow.
So what sort of shit do you think Hans was up to?
Oh, boy.
He doesn't murder anyone in the first instance, by the way. He's just not a very good person.
Mangling of pets.
Mangling of pets.
So maybe pets disappear.
Ooh.
Because priests get time alone with people, like in confessional. Does he say creepy things in the confessional to people? Does he go, oh, and when you did that, did you also want to decapitate a cat?
Oh my God. Now I have this, I bet all priests do that. Every single one of them has at least done it once, right?
I think the whole setup of the confessional is weird, isn't it? People stuff up to get off on it. But priest, go tell me more about that, can't they?
Yeah. And then Phoebe Waller-Bridge just jumps on this shit and wins an Emmy. Yeah. So, you know.
Not sexy at all, I must say.
The unsexy priest for you. I'm thinking animals too. Like, I was picturing like livestock. Like he's doing gross things with cows or something, and so people are finding it.
Like, is he visiting deathbeds? Is it like, if he's doing house calls that he's getting complaints about, or is it his services?
The rap sheet was long. A couple of things you've touched on there. And actually, he would have affairs with women, which for a kind of celibate priest is not a good thing.
That's not allowed.
No, he would apparently frequent
that's
prostitutes.
Right. I was like, what? I kind of forgot that main rule. Right, okay, right. Again, Phoebe Waller-Bridge has screwed up my ideas of priests.
And apparently he would molest altar boys as well. That was another...
He's awful.
Yeah, so a lot was going on with Hans. And but apparently, like, the final straw for the people of Bavaria was that... he just had a creative way of saying mass and his sermons were too eccentric, so they got rid of him.
Oh my God.
Wow, that's where the line is.
That's so Catholic, isn't it? You can abuse children, but stick to the rules on the stage.
Right. Oh my God. Oh,
wow.
Katie, do you still want to date him? I mean...
I at no point wanted to date him.
Yeah, sure.
I just
love him.
Like, but it's not just a little bit wrong, like everything he's doing. It's a lot of things, isn't it?
It's a lot.
And he's not being stopped.
Just for his sermons.
No. So he's stopped for the sermons. And basically, you know, he's run out of town. So he emigrated somewhere.
America.
Okay, America, says Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Katie?
I mean, how can it not be America? It's,
Taylor?
Where does a German Catholic creepy pedophile go to share his skills? I don't know why I don't think it's the US. I think it's another European country for some reason. I'm going to go easy with France. He just sort of did a quick hop over to France.
Okay. He goes to the old US of A. Katie and Joe were right.
Go the distance.
Why, they love a crazy priest.
They love a crazy priest. God. Oh, my God.
Originally, he went to a parish in Kentucky, but got into an argument almost immediately with a senior pastor and ended up in New York City. The glamour. This is where he meets Anna Amula, who is the housekeeper at the rectory at the church he's working at. Okay. He claims someone tells him to love Anna. Who do you think he thinks tells him to love her?
Oh, is it bloody Elizabeth again?
Is it God? Is it God himself? Is he upgrading to God?
Yes, it's God, and you can't argue with her. So, a conceptual sexual relationship starts between them.
Conceptual? I'm sorry. That was just pretty cute.
I just feel like I have to tell you that, like, because he's such a pig.
Consensual in the way that he said, God's told me, and if she's a God-fearing Catholic, she goes, oh, okay, then.
I know, yeah. Right?
There's definitely a power imbalance, and she can't vote or anything.
Sure, there are definitely layers to this. And then...
and he's a motherfucking priest.
Like, yeah.
Anyway, power.
And then God suggests something else. What do you think God suggests next?
Drunk women solving crime.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That he kills the priest he's working for to get the parish, the money.
Joe's guess is so good.
I think Joe's right.
Do you know what? Joe is right. Oh no, actually, I've just remembered what Joe said.
Whoops.
I'm so sorry. What it was is it was that God told him to kill someone, but it wasn't the priest he was working for. Oh. It was Anna.
Oh no.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
What, his consensual but not really fair power dynamic lover?
That's
was she murdered consensually though?
Yeah.
What was she wearing on the day of the murder?
Yeah. I don't want to have sex with you, but I'd love you to murder me.
Yeah. Who hasn't been there?
He said that the command was repeated so insistently that he actually told Anna about it, and she just called him crazy. You're crazy.
Anna is a bad judge of character.
God, someone says they're going to murder you a lot and that God told them, I would get out of there. Don't just you.
It's such a red flag, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, that's not a cute...
It's like the reddest flag, yeah. Isn't it?
God told me to murder you.
You crazy cat.
So it's a random murder because I don't see what he's gaining. He's losing somebody he's having sex with. So it's just the pleasure of killing somebody then.
Absolutely. But before he kills her, they get secretly married.
But he can't. He's a Catholic priest. He can't get married.
Who do you think performs
this? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Is it a saint?
Oh, my God. Not him.
Wait, okay. So, Taylor, who do you think it is?
I'm wondering if Saint Elizabeth comes back to perform the ceremony, but I don't know. I hope it's a saint. Okay. I want another saint.
Joe?
It's too much to say for him to say it's another saint, but is it... some priest that nobody's ever heard of that then disappears, that he's made up.
Yes, like the same one that ordained him originally.
Yeah.
Katie?
St. Francis of Assisi.
You nice. Really want him in the story. He's a nice one, isn't he? Yeah, a nice saint.
Hans did it himself.
Oh, of course, that's actually quite smart. Yeah.
We're going back to respect.
Get married, but I can perform marriage ceremonies. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I wonder if he kept like running from like being stood at the room and then running in front and then running back again.
Do you, amazing, beautiful Hans, take this woman you're going to kill.
Does anyone here think of any just impediment? No, fine. On we go.
Don't think about it too hard.
Yeah.
Hans is a busy, busy guy. So not only is he secretly married, he's also having an affair with someone else who he is running a counterfeiting ring with.
Oh,
God. Wow. You really can have it all, can't you?
Yeah. Wow. Choose your crime, man. Like, yes. Jesus, yeah, he's just greedy.
Really different.
That is strange. I did not see such a practical crime.
No.
Huh. Yeah, they would counterfeit $10 bills, which in 19...
A lot.
Sort of like four or something, is a lot of money.
Wow.
So this other person is a bloke. Does anyone want to hazard a guess?
I don't know. He's having an affair with this bloke.
Yeah, he's having an affair with a bloke.
Okay, and running counterfeit with him.
Yeah.
Okay.
And does anyone want to hazard a guess at what this guy does for a living? It's not relevant, but I don't know why I found it really funny that the guy's
I'm just laughing because you're laughing. A milkman?
And it's nothing to do with the counterfeiting, so it's nothing to do with art or like, printing.
Yeah, he can print his own newspaper.
He doesn't breed geese, does he? Was that the initial attraction?
No.
I don't know. What does he do?
He makes wigs.
That is funny.
Well, actually, I mean, he's a dentist, but he's just a dentist. I just thought it was, there was something about it, though.
Were dentists not well remunerated in 1904? Like, why does he got to do counterfeiting?
Dentists weren't they? It was a thing. Barber and dentist were a thing that were both together. Because it was
by the same person.
Yeah. I'm sure that was a thing, that it was basically the same thing. I think it was at one time it was barber, surgeon, dentist. You could do them all.
Oh my God.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Because dentistry is basically I can pull out your rotten tooth, right? Like there's not much else they're doing.
And he's got the chair. Cut your hair.
Yeah, I've got the chair. Yeah. Well, I've got
based
the chair.
It all around the chair. Yeah.
Get the whole head sorted out.
Yeah.
I can take off your toe if you want.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Oh, wow.
Back to Anna. Hans and Anna rented a flat together. One night, Anna reveals that she's pregnant.
Oh, she's still alive.
She's still alive, and she reveals to him that she's pregnant.
Right.
Oh, God.
Which obviously means, like, in terms of the priesthood, in terms of him keeping this a secret, that's not good.
Like, where do her family think she's living? Like...
I don't know. I think they think that she's still living at the rectory from the church before as the housekeeper.
Yeah, like a housekeeper, yeah.
Okay, so it's like a proper secret, okay.
Yeah, I think it's a proper big secret. But yeah, so the murder happens that night when she reveals she's pregnant. Yeah, I mean, this is the horrible part, that he slits her throat while she's sleeping, dismembers her body and wraps it in newspapers and stuffs it into pillowcases. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And that's a double sin, because that's also killing the unborn as well, isn't it? They're not allowed to do that. He's a terrible priest.
Oh, yes. Yeah. He's not effectively done an abortion there.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow. He's just broken every Catholic rule in the book.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like he's trying to break every single one.
Yeah.
So what do you think he did next with the body to try and hide it? So this is New York. What do you think he did?
River.
Wow, there's a lot of blood, isn't there? There's been a lot of blood. Newspaper. I would throw it in the Hudson, one of the rivers, East River of the Hudson.
Oh,
yes. Feed it to pigs.
Oh.
Pigs running around.
Yes, he's got a bit of an animal thing, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, but then he's like, but I can't help but cut their heads off and then they can't eat it. Oh.
I don't know. I thought they were going to the pigs. I didn't think this through.
It's the psychotic dilemma.
But actually, like, Joe, you're getting a lot of these dangerously correct, because yes, that's exactly what he did. He threw the body off a ferry in the East River. Yeah.
Oh, boy. He tried to do a Dexter, but he probably didn't weigh it down enough, maybe, the pillowcases.
Well, a few days later, the package is washed up in New Jersey and were found by some youths who called the police. So the case was given from the New Jersey police to the New York police because they figured the murder happened there. What was it about the evidence that made them go, okay, this happened in New York and not in New Jersey?
Really classy pillowcases.
Yeah. Or the newspapers were the New York Post.
Oh, that's a good guess. Yeah, that's a good guess.
Yeah.
Joe?
I think that's good. I like the quality. I like both those answers. I can't think of anything else.
Yeah. Well, what it was, weirdly, is it was Taylor sort of touched on it, that the pillowcases had been weighed down with something. And it was, I don't know how this is pronounced, but schist, S-C-H-I-S-T. And it's a greyish green rock. Rarely found in New Jersey, but commonly found in
New York.
No way. CSI shit there.
Yeah,
going
nice forensics.
I know. And then they go on to do some more like really cool detective stuff. Because often in these stories, like you hear how the detectives have fucked it up. But in this one, they're proper detectives. So that was their first clue. And their second clue came from the pillowcase itself. So have you got any ideas what that could be?
Now, when I was at Catholic school, we had to put our names inside the pillowcases. So did
oh
they
my have God. Oh. Yeah, that's brilliant if that's it. Or even Anna. Like
Anna, yeah. Or the rectory.
Yes. Taylor, any advance on that?
No.
Well, there was an initial sewn into it, but the initial was A, and his name is Hans Schmidt, so that didn't necessarily help them.
An initial.
But there was a tag that told you basically where the pillowcase had come from, and it came from a Newark factory, which sold exclusively to a Manhattan furniture dealer store called George Sachs. So they went to George Sachs and they checked through all his receipts, and they revealed that a bedspring, a mattress, pillows, and pillowcases had been sold a couple of months ago to a guy called A. Van Dyke, and the goods had been delivered to 68 Bradhurst Avenue. So what do you think the police did next?
I don't know, but they're doing a bang-up job. This is amazing forensics. Like, usually these cases, they're like, we can't figure it out. Like,
oh, we don't know. Yeah. Many people get murdered. Let's move on. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's lunchtime.
And also the name he chose for himself, A. Van Dyke.
Well, that could be Anna that bought them.
Oh, I just thought it was a bad made-up name. It sounds like something that Kramer would say in Seinfeld. have characters. But it could be Anna. She could be a Van Dyke.
I think they get a warrant to search that house. That address.
Right. Well, the first thing they do is they talk to the doorman, and he said that a married couple lived there and the guy had a heavy German accent and gave his name as Hans Schmidt. So the police did a 3-day stakeout, and when nobody came to the house, 3 days, they just watched the house. Nobody came. So they broke in. What do you think they found in there?
Well, were there other body parts? Like, had he been keeping trophies from other bodies? Yeah, some goose heads.
Well, the floor had been scrubbed, but large amounts of dried blood were found all over the walls.
Okay.
I think just why do the floor if you're going
to
leave on the walls?
Oh, Hannah, it's hard to clean walls. They just don't make sense. I've been there so many times.
It is. You've got to paint over them, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, so a large bloodstained knife was found on the kitchen shelf.
Oh, well, that is ridiculous.
Yeah, he did not cover his tracks at all.
No.
And then there were some letters there, and there was a letter from Anna, and so they followed the address from there. They followed that, and it revealed her previous address had been at that rectory. So they found out about Schmidt, Hans Schmidt, the guy with the German accent, and they went to the rectory that night, banged on the door. Schmidt answered. What do you think he said?
Anna's alive. She's in a different school. You don't know her.
Well, he's obviously going to deny it. So what can he say? Well, he'll say, I'm a priest. I'm not allowed to get married or have sex with anybody. So why would I know that woman? She worked at the rectory, didn't she, at one point?
Yeah.
Oh, I think he's going to say he's somebody completely different. And he'll do that thing of going, oh, so I answered the door, but I just delivered something. I don't live here. Bye-bye.
Yeah, let me go get Hans. And then he escapes out the back.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other German-speaking man lives in this New York rectory. Taylor?
I wanted to say something witty in German, but then I remembered I don't speak German, so I'm out.
It's nice that the thought was there, though.
The thought was there, yeah.
Well, he said, he did admit to it. He said, I killed her. I killed her because I loved her.
Think he wanted to get caught.
Is he trying to come up with some sort of crime of passion thing where he thinks he'll get off by saying, I killed her because I loved her, and then inventing some story? It's crazy.
Well,
He loves Mr. with the wigs. He loves Wiggy, doesn't he?
Yeah, he loves Wiggy. Wiggy the dentist.
Yeah. I mean, he then went on to describe the murder and in detail and was arrested.
Yeah, so he's so delusional. Like, there's so much going on that I don't. Yeah, he's not. He's not that practical. He's not trying to get out of it. He's just truly. Yeah,
and the pleasure in describing it—that's the creepy thing, isn't it?
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah,
wanting to tell, like a confessional, wanting to give you every detail. Mm. You're like, that's enough. I don't really need to know what you did next. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
I've got the picture. A lot of blood. Got the picture. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. So it was obviously, this was a huge media spectacle at the time. Right. Like, you know, we've got this priest. We've got like affairs. We've got he's married. So he pleaded insanity was his defense.
Mm-hmm.
And that ended in a hung jury. However, there was a retrial and he was convicted of first-degree murder and sentenced to death in the electric chair.
Wow.
But then he changed his story.
Oh, God.
And he admitted that he feigned insanity during the trial. But he did it because he wanted to try and pin the murder on someone else. Who do you think he tried to pin the murder on?
Oh, Wiggy the dentist.
Wiggy the dentist?
Wiggy the dentist.
No way.
Oh, man.
Yeah. But obviously, like, there's absolutely no evidence it was Wiggy the dentist. And so Schmidt was executed in the electric chair in Sing Sing prison in 1916.
Wow.
And remains the only Roman Catholic priest to be executed for murder in the United States.
Wow.
Wow.
Except he probably wasn't an actual Catholic priest.
Yes. Officially.
Yeah. Good point.
He's not canon.
Yeah. The only Catholic priest ordained by themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Done for murder.
He's a con man.
I mean, it's real mind hunter territory, isn't it? It's like a proper serial killer.
So did he kill other people?
Well, after he got done for this, they did sort of start looking at where he'd been before in Germany. And there were things like a little girl went missing and was murdered at the church that he was at.
Oh.
That had been like, that had been pinned on the janitor who'd always denied it. And then all this stuff has come up and I can't remember whether they changed it to it being him, but basically there was kind of like quite a
trail of death behind him.
Yeah, yeah, interesting. Yeah, that he'd definitely done it before because he did it quite easily, didn't he?
Yeah.
It's a crazy story, this one. I mean, it's also just that thing of being able to, it's like sometimes we have things about, like back in the olden timey days, you could just say you were a doctor.
Yeah.
Or that doctor who made people fast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, nobody's checking, are they? And especially in America, everyone, it's a new country. We've all just arrived. Nobody knows what anybody doing. Say whatever you like about yourself.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah,
exactly. I don't know what I'd pretend to be if I had a... I think maybe I'd say I had like a better degree than the one I have, which is a really Mickey Mouse one.
I quite like the idea of being a dentist who has lots of different wigs. I imagine going to a dentist and you're just looking at their hair and going, I don't know, can I have a dentist and he let him do stuff to me with that terrible wig like that? But at least it'd be distracting. You wouldn't think about the pain.
You wouldn't. Oh, but what if the wig falls into your mouth?
Oh, no, that wasn't worth it, would it? No.
Anyway, that is the story of Hans Schmidt.
Wow.
Oh, good story. Horrible.
Yeah. And Katie,
good, horrible story. Drunk women
solving crime. So just to round off the podcast, we've just got enough time for a listener crime. And this is from Fanula in Sydney. And she says, Dear drunk women, about 6 months ago, I was walking home along a busy street on my phone, not paying much attention to my surroundings. I had my headphones, a pair of pink Beats, resting around my neck. I vaguely registered passing a few young girls in my periphery. One of the girls swiftly grabbed my headphones and pulled them off me. My lizard brain reacted immediately and I snatched them back. She's doing a PhD, Fanula. She's like, she knows shit.
Sorry, we've had her before, right?
We have.
I know that name. Yeah. She sent us two. Yeah. Oh, that's brilliant. Love it.
She says, once my cognitive brain registered the whole sequence of events, I issued a very delayed and very startled response of shouting, oh, Jesus, whilst doing a little hop. The girls giggled and I fled the scene feeling embarrassed. With reflection, I admit, this is petty and completely unsuccessful crime from which I have learnt nothing. But the real crime, in my opinion, is that these girls had the audacity to laugh at me when their attempt at opportunistic theft had failed.
Right.
Please help me solve this crime. Who could have done this? I'm quite short, 5'2", and these girls were similar height to me. I also didn't get a good look at them, so they could range anywhere between tween to adult in age. Who would do that?
It's like a female Danny DeVito. She's going to describe her. They're going to be like, they had this hair. They were short, though.
Yeah, it all depends what film she watched the night before.
Yeah.
I don't quite understand. So she says she didn't see them.
Yeah, she says she didn't get a good look at them.
Right.
But she knew they were girls.
Yeah.
So we've got to help her find them. And but it's in Sydney.
I think she reacted perfectly.
Yeah.
What she did. You know, snatch them back. Call them lizards or whatever she does. I think the lizard bit, but and then, I don't know why she should be embarrassed. She said she was embarrassed because they laughed at her, but she's no reason.
No, she foiled their crime.
Yeah, and they were laughing because they were bad criminals. They'd done such a terrible job.
Nervous laughter.
Mm-hmm. They didn't manage to steal them. So, yeah, I think those girls probably, they would probably hang out with young boys in Finchley.
Right?
So really what we've done there is we've solved Fionnuala's...
I'm hoping Hannah will bust out an Australian accent to solve this one, but, you know, it's up to you. You do a good one, though.
No, I don't. I don't know why you'd say that.
That's right.
You know, the trick is to just not say anything really stereotypical, so it just sounds more, you know what I mean? So,
why is this so enjoyable?
It's the best.
Your accent.
Do you know what? I think, I think we're right that she did entirely the right thing. Also, I read this thing, like Darren Brown said it, about the fact that if somebody is attacking you or doing something or is trying to mug you, if you just talk nonsense to them by sort of saying, but last Thursday there was a book that I wanted to read with the dressing gown, that they'll be so confused for that moment that they kind of leave you alone. And I've always wanted to get mugged so I could try it.
Yeah, I think there is that thing, isn't it? I think also just making noise. I've done that with someone who came at me at night, and I just, because you don't know, and it's nice when you do know, oh, what kind of person are you? I am a screamer and hit you with my handbag. Like,
Nice.
It's good to know about yourself, but I just really, and they're frightened. They go, oh, God, I thought that was going to be easy, and it's not. And then they go, oh.
No, that's good.
That is interesting. What sort of person did you think you were before that moment?
I didn't know. Because I've had that dream. Do you have a dream where you scream in the dream, but you're not making any noise?
Yes.
Oh, every night.
Right.
Sorry, I mean, I'm fine. I'm really fine.
So I worried that if you were in a situation, would I be that person? Would that happen? Is that why I have that dream where you go, or I'd be a person who freezes?
Right. We lost Joe. Joe's computer died. So what we've done now is I'm going to ask Joe, as though she's still here. What she's up to. Then we're going to get her to record it and we're going to splice it in. Like nothing's happened. So, but we wanted you to be in on it because you're our listeners and we respect you. So, Joe, what are you up to next?
Thanks for having me. I really enjoyed that, solving crime and being drunk. And sorry that my computer exploded just before the end there. You can get me. I'm, like everybody, not really doing much, but I'm on Instagram TV with some stuff on there, Caulfield J. Yeah, so thanks a lot and sorry about the tech mania.
That's a wrap on Drunk Women for this week. Thank you very much for listening.
Well done.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then write it in a review and we'll solve it. Thank you to Acast and thank you for listening.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.